Technical problem.
There we go. Bam. That's what I was waiting for. One big thank you. That was the largest print I could find on the computer. It was 96. I want a big thank you for everyone who donated to the Norris Church. Definitely give yourself a round of applause. And definitely our hearts are moved. I know Martin Lewin are here, and you know, we're just definitely appreciative, humbled, elated, excited. As a week ago when we spoke, honestly, even if this group just didn't even give us a penny, the love that you've shown us, even moving here, actually we had Tokes and Bowler over last night, and they had, and we gave them a tour of our little flat, and we were just telling them how much stuff was given to us and donated to us, and most of the stuff came from the East group. So every time when we kind of give people a tour of our cozy flat, you know, we say, well, this is given to us, and this is given to us, and this is given to us, and we got this from so-and-so, and this is, and it's constant reminder of the generosity of this group. So obviously the giving that you did just a few weeks ago is just absolutely overwhelming, and I just wanted to say a big thank you, that I am appreciative, and we are. But let's do a little Norwich update. You want to know what the latest is? You're not bored with knowledge yet. Okay. Over the last few weeks, I went to Paris, Dublin, and Edinburgh. I went to Scotland with Mike. Almost got us killed a few times. Made a Frenchman very angry. I did. Not good. The French are not nice when they're angry. So we had a good time. We went up into the Highlands, and if you split Scotland right in the middle, right at the top, there's this place called the Town of Tone. It's like your mouth, tongue. And it's a beautiful little place. It's not even on the tourist map. And it's there's like white sandy beaches there. Yes, in the British Isles. And we walked down, and you have to walk down quite a way, what, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes? And you go over the sand dune, and you're just in this cove. It's kind of very tranquil. And actually and Mike pointed this out, there actually was a cave. And last time I went there, I didn't see the cave. So we walked into the cave, we took pictures and everything. You should have been there. But it was really great. It's great just to get some time with Mike and, you know, deepen our relationship. We talked about so many different things, family, life, ministry, you know, defeats, victories, hurts, the whole thing. It's surprising when two brothers get together and you spend about 72 hours with each other. After the while, all the superficial kind of purges away and you start talking about real things. And the sisters say, amen. We've been planning our move. We're looking for rent a home in Norwich, so pray for that. We'll be going again tomorrow. We just went Thursday, and then we were there last weekend too. So and also looking for our first meeting place too. Getting our kids in new schools. We just got them into school. Now we're going to give them an old another school system. And we'll be moving in the end of July. It's July already. I can see the tears well up in your eyes. I can tell. And our first service will be August 14th. So pray for that. If you want more information, go to the website.
www.norwichchurch.org.
Last weekend, now these three individuals here don't look like Norfolk people. But there's a funny story about, this is Ming, and I think his name is Kawani, someone like that. Hopefully they don't hear this recording.
That's not my name.
But this is their a friend here. They are from Indonesia. Originally, I think their ancestry is from China. And they live in a small town called Galston. Anybody know where that is? Okay. And it's just a little bit, what would it be, south of Great Yarmouth. And how I got to know them is through Facebook. There is a sister in our church in Indonesia. She had heard from the other side of the world that the church will be planted in Norwich. And she got me in touch with her sister, Ming, and that's her husband, Kawani. And they are very interested about the church. And they've already started to study the book of John. And they're very eager to actually go to our first service on August 14th. So God is moving. Kind of exciting, huh? And this is Danny right here. And they actually own a Chinese restaurant in Galston. And actually last Thursday, I told them, last Sunday when we saw them, I said, I may pop in at any time. When you see me knocking on the window, go. So we got with them on Sunday, and then Thursday we were down there looking at property. So then we popped in, and that just shocked them to death. It was amazing. I love doing that kind of stuff. And they also have an 8-year-old daughter, Bella. That's correct, yeah? Okay. Why did I put this up here? If you ever come to my house, there's a little plaque in our restroom toilet, as they say over here. Where there is great love, there are always miracles. And I always love this. Actually, if you go on the website, that is our little title banner. Because I believe if we really love the way God intends, we are going to start seeing miracles. A lot of times, a lot of other things when it comes to miracles, like faith and mission and... But I think what it all comes down to is love. And we're going to talk about Jesus' love today. Turn over to Mark 5. Miracle. Mark 5. So that's a little update on Norwich. In Mark chapter 5, in verse 21, it says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him, while he was going by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there, seeing Jesus, fell at his feet, and pleaded earnestly with him, my daughter is dying, please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd was pressing around him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you? His disciples answered. And yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at the feet and trembled with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. So my title of my message today is, Who Touched Me? And this is pretty much the only passage we're going to look at today. And actually I have 7 points. Seven points. Scared, aren't you? Point number one is the magnificence of Christ. This woman knew that Jesus had the power to heal her. If you're going to expect a miracle, you've got to understand the magnificence of God. You've got to understand the power he has. Remember when I did the loaf of bread and we looked at the crumb? Remember that? Two of us? Great. And I said, this is the power of God. And Jesus said, you know, just give me a crumb. That's all it's going to take to heal my daughter. And you don't even have to throw it. It can just fall. Don't even deviate from your mission. Just let a crumb fall from your table. And that'll be enough. I mean, a lot of times, if we're going to see miracles in our lives, we've got to tap in to the magnificence of God. He believed that Jesus can do what no man could do. How do we know that? She had gone to doctor after doctor. And especially back in them days, it's pretty brutal. They would do some pretty weird things. You know, people who had had mental issues just up to maybe about 100 years ago, they would literally stick a sharp object and just start prodding up in your frontal lobe here, thinking that you can be cured from bipolar disorder or some kind of mental disorder. So just imagine 2,000 years ago. Pretty scary, huh? Believe that that one touch of his cloak would heal it. And also we see the reverence of this woman, because when she understood that Jesus knew that was her or he's asking, she fell on her knees in reverence. Point number two. Insistence. She had an urgent desire to get close to Jesus. If you expect a miracle in your life, you've got to have a certain amount of unction. I love that word. Intensity, zeal, passion, fervor, desire to get close to Jesus. Don't expect a miracle in your life. Don't expect amazing things to happen in your life if you don't have any unction. Amen? Obviously, she wanted to get well. She kept hope alive for 12 years. Just imagine bleeding for 12 years. I know this passage has been beat to death, but just a draining effect on one's physical spirit that you've been draining for 12 years. What is the application for you? Maybe you feel that for a long time you've been draining spiritually. It may not be noticeable day by day, but if you look back what you did when you were in campus, when you look back when you did what you did in singles, you know deep down in your heart that I'm not where I used to be. She believed that a touch will do. She expected a miracle. If I could just touch his cloak, he could have said, shake his hand, pat him on the head, trip him up. But she believed in her heart that just one touch would get the miracle. Point number three, resistance. See, some of you doubted. Obviously, she had no money. It says that all the money that she had, she didn't have any other means to heal. She has given all her money away to doctors and different treatments and whatever else is going on. Obviously, she made poor choices. Because a lot of times, we will exhaust all other choices humanistically instead of coming to Jesus. In our pride. Well, I know I have this impurity in my life, but you know what? Let me try this. Let me put the block on my computer. Let me ask somebody to hold me accountable. Let me turn this off. Let me just put the laptop over there. And it keeps on happening and happening and happening. And one thing we're not doing is going to Jesus in brokenness and reverence
and with an indignation to get well. And a lot of you guys know my life. I mean, I spent 25 years in the world, never reading the Bible, never going to church, and you could not meet a more sinful wretch. Oh, actually, there was another story I got with a friend. Oh, I forgot to share this. Spirit just popped this in my mind. 7 points. But I got with a friend. His name is Nicky Crane. We went to school together. I told you about the cigarettes in my afro last time. And it's funny, as I get with my friends after like 25, 30 years, they bring up stories. So Nicky had explained to me, he said, "Mama, do you remember what happened in class one time?" He said, "I tapped you on the shoulder. And when I tapped you on the shoulder, I had my fist right there. And when I turned around, I punched you in the side of the face. And you looked at me and you said, 'Wait until break.'" So I remember standing there in the playground, and I remember you coming up to me. And you came straight up to me, you punched me, and you didn't say a word, and you walked off. And he said, "My eye just went like..." And he remembered this story so vividly, and I'm like, "I'm so sorry." And he was like, "Well, I didn't know if you remembered that or not. I thought you may have wanted to bring that back up, or maybe jump over the coffee table and strangle me because I punched you and tricked you. But this is the kind of animal I used to be. There's no word said. We don't reason back in them days. You just punch somebody and you, that will do. We don't even shake hands afterwards." So I give you a little image of my childhood. I know. How about all our broken promises and false hopes? Going to this doctor and being fired up. "You need to go to this doctor, and this doctor stopped my bleeding, and he will stop yours." And she goes and it doesn't stop. "Well, try these leeches. Try this thing. Let me... You know, if we drain some of your blood out of you, and maybe your body will see and you'll get rejuvenated." Some weird stuff happened back in them days. She suffered at the hands of those who should care. And what you see here, what I sense from this story, that she was exploited by people who should care. Sometimes you feel that in the church. That we have been exploited by people who really should care for us. But a lot of times we look at people, but we don't look at the heart and spirit of God. God doesn't want anyone to suffer. God wants everyone to be healed. And ultimately it was getting worse. She was weak. We talked about that. Drained. Do you ever feel drained sometimes? Ever wake up in the morning and it's about 9 o'clock and you're already yawning? I got my whole day and I'm tired. I feel like that sometimes. Sick and tired. Also, the point is, another obstacle for her was the dense crowd. It was so intense there that everyone was crushing against them. And probably all she could do was literally maybe stick her hand around somebody's waist just to get the corner. Because it was just hustle back, maybe just a little quick and a little touch, and then she's pushed back. But she touched his coat. Another passage in Luke 8, it says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. In this passage, it says they pressed against him. But just imagine people crushing Jesus. What it would take to work your way and fight through that crushing crowd to just even touch somebody. And a woman was there who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. And another passage says, a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he performed on the sick. And then you've got to ask yourself, what is the motive of this crowd? A lot of times Jesus was pretty much the best show in town. He would feed you and also he'd do miracles. You don't get That's like dinner in a movie. That's good. It's like, wow, this is a great show. He feeds you. If I get hungry, Jesus, can you do that miracle that you did for the 5,000, please? What point is this? Thank you, honey. Acknowledge. Where are you really at? She said, I am broken and I'm broke. That's like a double whammy. Try being broken and you're broke. Like, got no money and you're down and out. I mean, this woman is bleeding and she's broke. She's got no other options. She says, I've been abused. I'm weak. I'm sick. I'm dying. That's the reality of this woman. She knew she was dying. She knew if she didn't get an answer soon, that was it. I have nowhere else to go. I have no more answers. Hopefully, brothers and sisters, that we will start going to Jesus first. What's the point of beating ourselves up almost to a spiritually dying state when we could go to Jesus first? That Jesus is my only hope. Let's read verse 32 and 33 again. Are you with me? Hopefully, I like to look at familiar passages and, you know, try to derive something. There's a lot here, but hopefully you walk away with a nugget, walk away with something that you can apply to your life, that you can talk to your spouse about, you can talk to your children about, talk to someone about. In verse 32, let's see. It says, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that she, what had happened to her, came and fell at the feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. She told the whole truth. If you expect a miracle, you've got to acknowledge where you're at.
Yeah.
And then also you've got to confess the whole truth. Don't expect a miracle if you're not confessing the whole truth. She told the whole truth. She told him the whole story. Jesus, I've been 12 years. I've tried everything. I've been exploited by people who cares. Funny, there's no closet miracles. She couldn't touch him and run. Healed. I'm out of here. She said, who touched me? Who is it? Come on out. Come on out. Where are you hiding? Oh, it's you. There's no closet miracles. If that was the case, and she would have touched, she would have left. Oh, somebody got healed. Who cares? But she was called back for a reason. Plus, you got to realize that this woman was probably fear of being caught. Also, what goes through her mind, she's thinking, well, if Jesus is... Did I do something that violated Jesus? Is he going to take my miracle back? She didn't know what was going to happen. I think when she went down on her knees, she was like, the fear. I'm finally healed. Don't take it back. I know I did so. I know I should have came up to you. I know I should have said, can I have permission to touch your clothes, Jesus? I thought about that. I think she was begging him not to take it back. When you have so many broken promises and false hopes, you honestly feel sometimes it's, you have this fatalistic outlook. Bleeding for 12 years, it just changes your whole... If you've been bleeding spiritually, after a while, I say, well, I've talked to this brother, and I've done this, I've read this book, But have you really gone to Jesus?
Thought about that?
Also, another thing, I think maybe she jumped on her knees and said, look, can I keep my healing? But I believe Jesus is saying, but yes, but do not settle for just a healing. Let us think of it a little bit. I believe that Jesus stopped this woman because he did not want her to go away with guilt. Go away with guilt in her life, saying, yeah, I'm healed, but I had to manipulate it. How can she really function knowing that she exploited Jesus? How is she going to live a functional life even though she's healed? How is she going to live a functional life if she doesn't have a free spirit? This is the next point. What number is that? Thank you. Doing pretty good, aren't we? Could have left and been healed. I've stopped the bleeding. You know, I was sick and now I'm well. I mean, these are all the things that she was appreciative of. Only Jesus heals. What a testimony to say, look, I've tried everything else, but only Jesus heals. Amen. But also her faith healed her body, because she knew by touching the cloak of Jesus that she would be healed. Knows that the true power is only in Jesus. But as I said, don't go with just a healing. And I truly believe that this woman was physically healed, but she was not at peace. I talked about this. And even Jesus was alarmed. That he knew that power had gone out of him. And he said, you know what? Somebody just got a healing. Something just happened. And I want to make sure that this person goes with peace in their spirit. In Matthew 9:22, it says, take heart, woman, in a cross reference. So he's more concerned about their heart. She had a physical healing, but the heart was not healed because of the guilt. You have no peace. The heart was full of fear. You are not free. You are not whole. This is interesting. Parallel passage, Matthew 9:22. Your faith has made you whole. Just being physically healed does not make you whole. Matthew 5:34. Let's read it again. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in what? And be freed from your suffering. If she would have left by just getting a healing, she would have never went in peace. Where are you at this morning? Do we have peace in our hearts? You don't have a holistic healing of Jesus unless you have peace in your heart. A lot of us are very healthy here. A lot of us got here on our own steam. But the question is this morning, do you have peace in your heart? I love this one. Jesus will change his plans to heal you. He was going to go and heal Jairus' daughter. Jesus will detour because of your faith if you really want it. Amen? You can stop God with your faith. This woman stopped Jesus in his tracks because of her faith. Just imagine stopping Jesus our Lord and Savior, the power that this man has and the purposes that he had on his heart to save mankind, and you can stop him with your faith. That's exciting. I can stop Jesus, even if he's doing something else. Now, God is thinking about millions of people, but my faith can stop God for 1 second to get my healing. Do you believe that? Do you expect miracles in your life? Do you expect great things in your life? You can stop God for 1 second to ease the pain and suffering in your heart. Even after 12 years, it's never too late for healing. You never give up on God. I know some of us are beaten down. We listen to Satan's lies. But today could be a day of saying, 12 years is enough. This is massive. Don't be afraid. Be free. Go in peace. Understand that humanism and self-reliance will not bring a healing. You can go to therapists, you can do whatever you want. I have a counseling degree. But if I'm not preaching Jesus first, it means absolutely nothing. No one knows it's miracles. You can be miserable but healed. This woman were to walk away with a stricken conscience, but healed. And that's not enough for Jesus. Some of us have been baptized and weren't happy. That's not enough. Jesus did not die for that. He died for your wholeness. He died that you would not only be healed and forgiven of your sins, but you would have a deep peace and tranquility in your heart. No intelligence, race, looks, past. The variant is faith. So no matter how long you've been here, you can be as young as Charles, you can be as old as Mike in the church. Boom, boom. It doesn't matter. Jesus didn't even see this woman. All she did was touch him with faith. That's all. Many around Jesus, but only the faithful will get their miracle. People were crushing Jesus, crushing him. So many people had more touching than this woman. But they were around him for the wrong reasons. Some of us think we can do things to get the blessing or the miracle of God. You can even press Jesus, push against him. Wrestle him, strangle him, but if it's not done with faith, it's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just a touch. Not even a word. And having an unwavering faith. It's never too late for a miracle. Brothers and sisters, it's never too late. And my final point is elation. Go with the joy and reassurance. That's what God wants you to have. Just a pure joy. A radiance. Go with a clear conscience. Go with a pure heart. Go and be free. Go and live without fear or guilt. Go in peace. Share that only Jesus heals. In this humanistic world, share that God, what God has done for you. Share your miracle with others. And if you're baptized in Christ, you are a living miracle. Can I get an amen to that? Anybody baptized there? You are a living miracle. I know, there should be some elation there. You are a living miracle, amen? Give yourself a round of applause if you've been baptized. excited. I'm excited. I'm excited for you.
My 7 points.
We're all done. Thank you very much.
I was waiting for the 0.7 to begin with an E. I felt it out and I thought, hold a second, when he said, Jesus gives you more, that spells miracles. Didn't quite work. But, you know, I appreciate the recording out the insights from that scripture. You know, the fact that there are so many crowds who are pressing in on Jesus and yet only one got the miracle. Only one person, Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Because she came with faith. And it's easy for us to come to church week in, week out. We've got things in our lives that are left undealt with, but we don't change them because we don't come with faith and go to God in prayer and passion and urgency to really make a difference. And I appreciate Marvin bringing up that point. You know, for all of us, we should be changing week after week. And if we're not Christians, if we haven't yet been baptized, and we've been coming to church week after week, month after month, and in some cases, year after year, what are you waiting for? Really? What is it you're looking for? God wants to do a miracle in your life, and we also want to be a part of that miracle. So let's have that urgency, let's have that passion, let's be able to go away with peace in our hearts because we come before God in humble reverence and acknowledgement of our sin. Thank you, Marvin, for a great lesson. I really appreciate it. Just a couple of reminders. First of all, there's an announcement. There's a Brothers in Arms meeting taking place in room 19 at 1 o'clock. So that's room 19 just down the corridor at 1 o'clock today. And again, a reminder, in case you missed at the beginning, we are not here next Sunday. Next Sunday, we have the finale of our annual conference at Friends House. So we'll be meeting at 10:30 next Sunday morning at Euston, Friends House. And of course, our conference begins for all of us. We won't be here on Friday. We'll be at Friends House on Friday. 7 o'clock for 7:30 p.m. start. And then we'll have our Saturday evening program as well. Please, all of us, let's make plans to be there. Next Friday, with the conference, it's the East Ministry that is responsible for the start of the conference. And we're going to have our teams fully involved for the Friday night program. We're going to have Sarah and some of the teams are going to be doing a special icebreaker for the whole church. You have to be there to see it. I'm not even going to tell you in advance. You have to be there. But also, we're going to have our teen girls who are going to be forming our choir are going to be singing next Friday evening as well. So let's make sure we're all there and in good, supportive, vocal appreciation. We're going to close out our service today. We're going to actually have the teen girls come up on stage and sing a song. It was an opportunity for them to have one final practice before Friday. Unfortunately, a lot of them are away today because of school trips, family holidays that have been planned before the conference and visiting other services. So what we do is we have four of the girls here. We're going to ask them to do double duty and to sing parts they wouldn't normally sing, but we're going to have an opportunity just to really encourage them. So let's have the teams make their way up on stage now.
Hello? You've already won the battle, and you've got great plans for me. So I can always see. I've got a couple dents in my mobile, got a couple rips in my team. Trying to fit the pieces together, but perfection is my enemy. On my own, I'm so clumsy. But on your shoulders I can see I'm breathing. When I was just a girl, I thought I had it figured out. My life would turn out right, and I'll make it here somehow. Things don't always turn out. Sometimes I feel I've got nothing good to bring. But you look at my heart and you tell me that I've got all you need. Oh, and it's easy to believe. Even though I got a couple dents in my mobile, got a couple rips in my jeans, trying to take the pieces to. Perfection is my enemy. On my own, I'm so clumsy. But on your shoulders, I can see. I've got a couple dents in my mobile, got a couple rips in my jeans. I'm trying to fit the pieces together. Perfection is my enemy. On my own.